One thing I want to be talking about in this segment is something that I brought up before. There's a new agreement that is going to be, it's a treaty, really. Essentially, it's a health treaty between the World Health Organization and various states and nations. And I told you that it's dangerous because it gives the World Health Organization powers over Americans. It usurps our ability to speak, and I'll get to that, but there was a report put out yesterday, and it's been 4 years since the COVID pandemic. In fact, I have a corresponding podcast called Coronavirus Update. It's still up. I started it around March 20th of 2020, once it became known that COVID was spreading and this wasn't just some weird thing happening in China. I started doing a podcast reporting on the data every single day. And we kept it up. We saved all the articles. I thought to myself then, and I thought today, somebody needs to save this stuff so that they can't rewrite history later and tell us what happened. And we'll all just, okay, well, that happened. But maybe that's not what happened. And I have all the archives of when President Trump, in fact, I'm going to play this. This is a clip from March 30th. So it's a little more than 4 years ago this week. This is March 30th in America, 2020. And listen to this. It sounds a little old, but it's President Trump. And I was dumbfounded by what I had forgotten. Listen to this.
And to the industries who are working in concert with local, state, and federal government agencies on this, the 121st day since the first case of the coronavirus was documented in Wuhan, China. Here now, we join the president at his press conference earlier.
So, the pharmaceutical company, Sandoz, has been working with us very closely. And as Alex mentioned a little bit, 30 million doses of the hydroxychloroquine to the United States government has been given.
Did you hear that? Do you remember that? I had totally forgotten that on March 30th, 2020, this was long before Pfizer and Moderna and anybody knew about anything called mRNA, and the president had ordered up millions and millions of doses of hydroxychloroquine, which is used throughout the world, mainly in Africa. It's an antiviral, very effective. But it became demonized shortly after. It became demonized because in order for the CDC to approve the mRNA vaccines, which would come later, they had to be the only effective therapy. Now, if you've forgotten all this, some of it was brought out during the Senate hearings with Rand Paul and Fauci, but the only way to justify an end user authorization or emergency use authorization by both the FDA and the CDC and the NIH is to make sure that there is no other way of treating COVID. And at that point, there were other ways. There was remdesivir, there was hydroxychloroquine, there was ivermectin. All of these therapies were there and available to people who had early onset signs of COVID. But if you remember, people were told to stay away from the hospital, stay at home. If you don't get better, come when you're really sick. And at that point, if you were really sick, chances are they were going to intubate you and you had a 50-50 chance of maybe making it. And you were quarantined and people couldn't go see you. It was horrible. It was awful. And it was all based on this premise of certain individuals, I believe, who were in government, who were trying to convince us that the only therapy, the only possible way out of this was the vaccines. And that's part of the problem of today, is we don't remember what President Trump was talking about. This, again, from March 2020.
And Bayer has donated 1 million doses of the chloroquine, which will soon be distributed to states and state health officials around the country. Teva Pharmaceuticals is also donating 6 million doses of hydroxychloroquine to U.S. hospitals, 6 million doses. So the private sector, as you'd say, Steve, it's been amazing what's happened, really amazing.
And, you know, and it got knocked down by Bill Gates, Et al., who contributes half the money to the World Health Organization. It immediately changed, and I had totally forgotten that whole story. I had totally forgotten about that because it was demonized. And if you read The Real Anthony Fauci by Rob Kennedy Jr., the guy who's running for president, he talks about how Fauci and Gates and others had conspired to do a test on hydroxychloroquine in Africa, and they gave patients a dose that was five times higher than the normal dose of hydroxychloroquine. And so when people reacted negatively, they used those statistics to propagandize to the United States that hydroxychloroquine was not the therapy that we should use. That was not an effective way to treat COVID-19. Oh, how we have forgotten, right? Okay, so now we're in the present. And there's an article being written by Kevin Roberts and Robert Redfield, and it was published in the Epoch Times, and it basically says that 4 years have passed since the onset of COVID-19 and the global mishandling of its spread. Now, the same governments and international organizations that lied about the last pandemic are negotiating a new pandemic agreement and amendments to the International Health Regulation, otherwise known as IHR, and the World Health Organization. The main culprit hasn't changed. Although the Chinese Communist Party has never been held accountable for its complete refusal to adhere to previous IHR agreements or its ongoing obstruction of a thorough investigation into the virus's origins, Beijing is now collaborating with the Biden administration on this new accord. The latest version of the agreement even mandates that parties provide financial and technical assistance to developing countries. And of course, China is considered a developing country, so it's wealth redistribution. The country that started the COVID-19 pandemic will not only suffer zero consequences for its actions, but should the United States sign this new agreement, it would stand to benefit from mandatory transfers of funds from U.S. taxpayers. That's part of the new agreement. In addition, the agreement would take a sledgehammer to America First Amendment and free speech in order to, quote, cooperate in accordance with international law in preventing misinformation and disinformation, which basically means my COVID podcast would have ended on day two because I wouldn't be considered a reliable source, even though the information I reported was directly from the CDC and the FDA. Our government must wholly reject it. That is the last line in this article. You should read it. It's in the Epoch Times. Robert Redfield, who was one of the original people in the early days who had said, you know, wash your hands, do all the things you would do if there was a flu pandemic, and we can get through this. So that's basically what's at stake here. The World Health Organization, an international treaty, and America has to follow the orders of an international body. Does that sit well with you? Yeah, me neither. We'll continue. We've got Sound Bites of the Week coming up, and then Mark Biltz joining us later to talk about war in Israel. Stay tuned. You're listening to Speaking Out. I'm Jim Watkins.
What they claim is that some researcher that was working in there contracted the virus, went out to the general public, and spread it to other people. If that is what happened, there is no doubt that China will be held accountable, not just by the United States, but by the world.